Jesus of the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side. Knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you died.
The water is nice. One thing we didn't rehearse for today, though, was we have a stool here for some of the shorter people getting immersed to stand on. but the stool is floating beside me. So I have one arm under the candidates and one foot on the stool today. We're so happy the children can be involved today, along with the Sunday school teachers. And I don't know if the children want to come up quickly and just take a look here. Do you want to come up just quickly and take a look? And then just maybe have a seat in the front row. Do any of you want to come up and see the baptismal tank here and see all the water in it? Okay, do you want to come up? Sure, come right up. Okay, because our prayer is, as a congregation, someday that in obedience to Jesus, you will, in an act of obedience, come and be baptized. What do you think? Come on in. Come on, come on up. Take a look. What do you think? Yeah. So, do you think someday you'll be immersed because you love Jesus and you want to follow him? That's right. It's a real act of obedience. Okay. Hi. How are you, Sky? Okay, you got to have a seat now. Can you have a seat in the front row? Okay. And you likely know these people that are getting baptized today. Okay. You might be wondering, everyone, what is baptism all about? And I just wanted to, for a minute or two, talk about this so that you know what's happening today. Yeah, you can just have a seat. Okay. Thank you, Damien or Andre. What on earth are we doing here this morning? What's baptism all about? Well, God's love conquers all, even sin and death. And this Easter Sunday, what a day to have some baptisms here. Let's rejoice in Jesus' triumph over sin, over death, and the everlasting life we have in him. I love Romans chapter 6. If you have your Bibles with you, if you want to follow along. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried before him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus, his Son. Baptism is an amazing picture of the transformed identity we have in Christ. Once we were lost and without hope, burdened and soiled by our sins. But through God's mercy and our trust in his finished work on our behalf, we have now received divine cleansing and become a part of his family. A brand new beginning is ours through the victorious resurrection life of Jesus. So baptism, everybody, is the washing with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What it signifies for all of us here it signifies and seals our adoption into Christ, our cleansing from sin, and our commitment to belong to the Lord and His church. It's a step of obedience. It's a step of obedience to Jesus Christ in a Christian's life. Water baptism is an ordinance instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ to be practiced until the end of the age, which signifies a believer's union with Christ in his life, death, burial, and resurrection. Let's pray before we introduce our candidates today. Oh God, this is a holy moment. And we pray that what each of these candidates do here today will ever be mindful to them throughout the rest of their lives. And God, we know this water baptism doesn't save anyone. And Lord, we thank you. Cleanse the one, we cannot purify our own hearts, but we must come to you to wash away our sin. Thank you for water baptism, which does not save us, but portrays our salvation and unites us as one people, your adopted sons and daughters. Amen. Just an invitation to any of you, if you are interested in being obedient to our Lord Jesus Christ, and God has put it on you, your heart, you're welcome to approach any of the elders about getting immersed at a future day and time. And so our first candidate here for baptism today is Angie Klumpers. Angie, are you there?
There. I think it's good.
I think we're pretty good. We're not supposed to touch the mic.
No.
Electrified.
It's good. Don't want to do that.
Okay. Good morning, Angie.
Morning. Hi, I'm Angie Klumpers. Growing up, the name of Jesus, God, or the Holy Spirit were no strangers to me. They were very familiar. I believed there was a God, but so did the demons and shudder. In my mind, I loved God. I understood Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I was a professing Christian, and on the outside, it would have appeared that I was. I spoke the language. I had a Bible. I went to church. I went to some Bible studies. I wore a cross necklace. I listened to Christian music, and I even hung out with Christian friends. Why wouldn't I go to heaven? What I didn't know is that I was trusting in my goodness instead of Jesus and his goodness. I cleaned the outside of the cup really good, but inside I was hard-hearted, self-sufficient, and calloused. I thought I was on the path of righteousness, but I was on the path that leads to destruction, that goes to hell. All a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart. During a 2-3 year period of time, through a series of tragic events, God drew me closer to him. I was so full of pride, and he was breaking it. As the psalm says, a broken and contrite spirit is what I desire from you. All the deaths, my dad's stroke, the illness of my father-in-law, drove me towards him. I had been looking in all the wrong places. New Age, NAR, Jehovah Witness, and myself, trying to make a God that would best suit me. I can remember whispering in my heart, "Okay, God, I'll do it your way." At this point, I was desperate. I was so full of anxiety, anger, dread, and had a heavy heart of grief. I had so many questions. Where was God? What was he doing? Where was everyone going? God had my attention. And like a loving parent who wouldn't give up, he faithfully led me to him. As I read the Bible, I began to see myself for what I really was, a sinner in need of a Savior. All our righteous acts are like filthy rags before Him. No one does good, not one. No one seeks after God. I have to admit these verses pierced me. Where was the warm teddy bear, non-judgmental God I knew? I also began to see God for who He was, holy, just, full of compassion and long-suffering. Between faithful servants of the Lord like Ray Comfort, John MacArthur, Paul Washer, Mike Winger, Doreen Virtue, Melissa Doherty, and the Bible, I was being convicted, bringing me to my knees in tears of repentance. I realized I could not change my evil heart or ways. Only Jesus could do that. While weeping over the sins that I committed, I asked for God's mercy as I knew that I had sinned against Him and Him only. And then, one day after 2 years, around this time, it was like the struggle was over. Like a newborn baby coming out of a womb, I was born again. I had passed from death to life. He gave me a new heart with new desires and motives to glorify Him in all I said, thought, and did. What a burden lifted. I'm not perfect, not this side of heaven, but I know that He is faithful to finish what He has started in me. I'm a work in progress, and no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. In the words of the Apostle Paul, I press on towards the prize. On my way to becoming more Christ-like, Jesus has been untangling me and breaking the chains of sin that have held me captive for so long. Today, as a symbolic act of obedient love for my Lord and Savior Jesus, I show my unity with Him in His death, burial, and resurrection because of His obedience. I am able to walk in newness of life. Though this new life might cost me everything, and in the words of a famous song, though none go with me, still I will follow. I have decided to follow Jesus.
Having heard your testimony, Angie, I want now to ask you a couple of questions before everyone gathered here. All your family and friends that could make it today, and your dad and mom are watching from out west in Saskatchewan, and I know how proud they are of you as well. So these two questions: have you repented of your sins, and do you trust Christ to be your Savior and Lord?
I have.
And will you, with the help of the Holy Spirit, serve Christ's church and seek to further His kingdom?
I will.
Well, upon the profession of your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and His work of grace in your life, I want to baptize you now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection. We'll move the floating chair. Okay, and Aiden? I'd like to call up Aiden now to come forward.
Daryl, can we have someone pray for Angie?
Oh, sorry. I forgot. Jamie Ann, a good friend of Angie's, is coming up to pray.
Excited for her, and it's an honor to be able to do this.
And Angie is listening.
Okay. Lord God, I just thank you so much for your work of grace in Angie's life. I thank you for the transformed heart that you have given her. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing her graciously to yourself, for revealing your love and your truth to her. Thank you for her faith. Thank you for the way that she represents you. Thank you for the way that she challenges me in my own faith. I just pray your protection over her in the days to come. Lord, use her in a mighty way as you already have. And Lord, we just commit her and her family to you. And we just thank you again for the amazing work that you've done and that you will continue to do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thanks, Jamie Ann.
I came to know God through my Grandma Donna and Grandpa Randy. I grew up coming to Sunday service with my grandparents and learning about Jesus. I've been going to this church since I was very little, and through its teachings, I now know that I have sinned and that Jesus, and through Jesus, I can be saved. I know that Jesus came and rose again to pay for my sins, and he is the one true Lord. I want to be baptized to dedicate my life to Jesus and proclaim my love for him. God is good.
Having heard your testimony, Aiden, I want to now ask you two questions before everyone gathered here, all your family, your friends. First off, have you repented of your sins and trust Christ to be your Savior and Lord?
I do.
And will you, with the help of the Holy Spirit, serve Christ's church as you are doing now and seek to further his kingdom?
I will.
Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his work of grace in your life, I baptize you now, Aiden, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. And we're going to ask Grandma Donna to come up now, please.
Aiden, I can almost hear Grandpa saying, I'm so very proud of you and I love you very much. Aiden, to see you make this big step of obedience for baptism to our mighty God, declaring that you publicly say you are following Jesus. Carl and I are so proud of you and we love you very much. It has been an honor to see you grow into a wonderful young man and to watch your faith and understanding of what Jesus did for us because he loves us. God has a plan for our lives, and I will watch with anticipation to see where he will take you through your life. Let us pray. Almighty God, I thank you so much for Aiden. You have blessed me with such a wonderful grandson. I ask that you put a wall of protection around him as he takes this step to be baptized. I ask that you give Aiden clear direction for his journey in life that you have planned for him. Help Aiden know that you, O Lord, walk beside him all the time and are available for Aiden to talk to at any time. I ask that you would watch over Aiden's family, Dan, Shelby, and Owen, as they desire to follow you. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Our next candidate for baptism is Aiden's mom, Shelby Townsend.
Jesus has called to me many times in my life, and for many years, I didn't answer. For many years, I deliberately ignored and at times even actively denied Christ's call. I didn't believe, and I was stubborn in my non-belief. Hindsight is such a wonderful thing, and looking back now, I can see that Christ was always there, always with me, even in my non-belief, even in my denial. His steadfast and never-failing love and mercy has always been there. Through my sufferings, through my joy, he was always with me, and through the many people in my life, God has always been calling to me. It was through a tragedy that I came to know Christ's love for me. My father-in-law, Randy Potler, was sick and dying of cancer. Donna and Randy have always been wonderful family to me and amazing grandparents to my children. I'm not their biological daughter, but they have always treated me like one. I knew they had a relationship with Christ, but as a non-believer, I had no concept of what that really meant. I knew they were good people and that their values were strong and ethical. I knew they prayed before they ate and went to church on Sundays. As a non-believer, that was my idea of what it meant to have a relationship with Christ. Many times I sat at those meals, bowing my head out of respect but never praying. Many times I was invited to Sunday service, but always politely declining. When Randy got sick, I began to see what a relationship with God really looked like. I began to see the trust that Randy had in the Lord and how he and Donna turned to the Lord and how the love and light that Jesus brought to their lives during this awful time sustained them. Randy knew he was dying and yet he had no fear. For him, Jesus had truly taken the fear of the grave away. I remember being in awe of Randy and Donna and their relationship with God. How could they be so fearless? How could they be so trusting? When I was saying my goodbyes to Randy as he was passing, I was the one crying, not him. As I was sobbing uncontrollably, trying to get out the words to say that I loved him and I would miss him dearly. He took my hand and he smiled and he told me not to cry. That he was joyful, and in fact, he was the one grieving for me because he was going to meet his Lord and I had to stay. I remember wanting so badly to understand that feeling, to grasp what he meant at that moment. I wanted that feeling of security, of assurance, of love. How could he and Donna not be afraid? How could they be so loving, so patient, so trusting in the face of certain tragedy? Seeing their example of a relationship with God was my first inkling that I was truly missing something. I could feel stirring in my heart and in my mind. The idea that I wasn't whole, the emptiness of my soul was becoming apparent to me. After Randy's passing came the funeral. The funeral was all by Randy's design. He had picked the music and the readings and the pallbearers. It was a beautiful celebration of his life, and the church was packed with people full of who loved him and who wanted to show their respects. There was a moment during the service when the pastor was talking and he shared a conversation that he and Randy had had before his passing. Randy had said that if through his death he could bring just one person to Christ, it would all have been worth it. In that moment, before the pastor could even finish his sentence, there was a momentous shift, a great clarity in my mind. It was as if the light in the room intensified and the clouds in the roof parted. The light came down from the Lord himself and shined directly upon me. I felt the Holy Spirit awaken me with such power and vibrancy that I could hardly stay seated. I felt God's love envelop me and lift me up. I suddenly knew that Randy was talking about me when he said that the Lord was using him and Donna and this horrible tragedy to call to me, and finally, I was made ready to answer. Only the Lord could turn a tragedy like that into a triumph. I would say that I walked into church that day a non-believer, but after this experience, who could deny the existence and the power of the Lord? Now there was no denying Christ's love for me. It's like that song, The Goodness of God. There's a lyric, "Your goodness is running after me," and God's goodness had been running after me for a long time. And now, finally, in that moment, the goodness of God had been revealed to me. It was a humbling moment of undeniable truth. My life laid down. I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after me. Ever since that day, my family and I have been committed to Christ and to wanting to know and understand Christ's love for us better, wanting that full and wondrous relationship with God. God blesses us with so many wonderful people in our lives, directing our journey. I'm so thankful for the blessing and direction of Donna and Randy and their amazing example of God's love, for the blessing of a wonderful community of people here at this church, helping to guide my family and I in a way that can bring us closer to God. God has called to me many times and in many ways, but it is because of the blessings of these people in my life that I was finally made ready to answer. I am saved and I know Jesus because of the works that he has done through all these people in my life. God is so great, and his goodness continues to run after me.
Well, having heard your testimony, Shelby, I want to now ask you these two questions in front of everyone. Have you repented of your sins, and do you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior?
I do.
And also, will you, with the help of the Holy Spirit, serve Christ's church and seek to further his kingdom?
I will.
Well, upon profession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his work of grace in your life, I want to baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Then we're going to ask Shelby's beloved, Dan, to come up and to pray. Dan?
Dear Lord, I want to thank you for Shelby, for all the influences that have guided her, and for all the influence that she provides. Your work has been always evident in hers. Thank you for the gift of baptism that we can publicly declare our love for you and our dedication to living a proper life. Thank you for all the guidance that she's received to bring her here. And please watch over her as she continues to guide our family and encourage myself in the faith. Amen.
Thanks so very much. Everybody who's had a part in this service, thank you to everybody. It's wonderful to be together, and isn't it a joy? I mean, you see people taking a step of faith to publicly declare to everybody, to invite family and friends and so on to come and say, you know what, God's real. God's real in my life. I'm going to follow him. I love him. And that's what's being declared here this morning. Actually, a few years ago, I got a phone call from one of my grandsons who was out in BC. And he'd been really struggling with a lot of stuff. And I would say wandering and not following Jesus at all, but following his own desires and his own kind of whatever he wanted to do. But he gave me a phone call and he said, Grandpa, I'm going to be back in Ontario between Good Friday and Easter. I wonder, would you baptize me in the lake? And I thought, baptize him in the lake? I'd love to baptize him, but baptize him in the lake? I mean, it's kind of chilly. You can see this morning even. But he told me this story about how he was really kind of desperate and he was asking for God if God would show up. And God showed up in quite a wonderful way, and he was sitting at a McDonald's on a morning when he had no money at all, and he just had one of those little cards, you know, if you buy, what is it, you buy nine, you get the tenth one free or whatever it is for a McDonald's coffee, and he had gone in and got his coffee. He was sitting in his car, and all of his stuff was in his car because he was homeless in Vancouver, and a guy was sitting at a pickup truck over here and looking at him like this, and my grandson looked over at this guy and he said, oh, this is freaky. This guy's looking at me. And this guy came over to his car and he said, you look like maybe you're living in your car. He said, I am. He said, do you need a job? He said, actually, I do. He said, well, I'm a Christian. And my boss is a Christian. My boss is an arborist in Vancouver. And he cuts down trees all over the place. Would you be interested in working for him? And this was the beginning of a turnaround for my grandson, that God had shown up at a time of desperation and had had a Christian step up, talk with him about the Lord, and tell him that actually God loved him and God would provide a job for him and provide other things as well. And sure enough, that Easter, on the Saturday between Good Friday and Easter Sunday, we were down in the lake and it was cold, but I tell you, it was a joy for him, because what he was saying was, the way I was living before, it was killing me. So this business of baptism is, I'm saying, I'm going to die to that old way of life. I'm going down, just like Jesus died. I'm going to die to the old way of life, and then resurrect to a new way of life with Jesus in my life, with Jesus changing me and giving me a new direction. And that was a joyful time, I must say. Now, some of you I know are really worried right now because we've already been here for a while, and you're thinking, this guy's standing up here and he's supposed to preach to us for a while. So if you'd give me 10 minutes, I want to talk about something, and then I'll be done, okay? I think that there are people who come to church every Christmas and every Easter, and they think there are only two sermons. One is about Jesus getting born, and the other one is about Jesus dying and rising again. So how come you only have two sermons? That's all I hear. Well, I wonder sometimes about Christmas, about Easter, where the question is really, okay, you've told the story before Jesus died and he rose again, so what? So what difference does it make that Jesus was here 2,000 years ago and he died on a cross and he rose again, if he rose again? What difference does it make? And that's what I want to talk about in the next couple of minutes. So here's what I'd like you to do. This is the responsive part of this message. I'd like you to get so what in your head. And when I prompt you, if you would just say, so what, all of you, okay? So I'm going to declare to you today that Jesus Christ is really God in the flesh, like God enfleshed himself and came here in the person of Jesus, and that he was born at Christmas, it's true, and 33 years later or so, he died at Easter, and he rose again.
So what?
I'm glad you asked that question, because this is really important. The fact that Jesus died and rose again changes everything, absolutely everything. Number one, it means that death no longer has the victory. that death no longer has the final say, that death no longer is the end, because somebody, Jesus, rose from the dead. I mean, he was dead. His disciples couldn't believe it, couldn't believe that he died. They'd been hanging around with him for 3 years. They were following him. They believed he was the Son of God. They believed he was going to set them free from the Romans who were ruling at that time. He died. He was dead as a doornail. They saw him. They put him in a cave, a burial tomb, and they left him there. And Sunday, when they came back to anoint the body with ointment and so on, he wasn't there. The tomb was empty, and they found he had arisen, which shows that there is a God, and that God can overcome all the power of death, which means that for you and for me and for all of us, death does not have the final say. And I tell you what, I have stood at graves before, and you look down in that hole, and as the casket goes down, you think, I've lost this person who is so precious to me. Is this it? Is this game over? Is it all done? And Jesus says, it's not over. There's life after death. There's life after death. There's a place in heaven. If you believe in Jesus, there's a place in heaven for you. So quick story. I was talking to a man a number of years ago. I was talking to him about his soul and saying, you know, I'm concerned about your soul and where you'll be after you die. He said, I'm just like my dog. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, a few weeks ago, I had my dog in my lap. My dog died, took him outside, dug a hole, put him in the hole, put the dirt over, said, I'm just like my dog. And I said to him, my friend, you are not a dog. You are a precious human being created in the image of God, and you have a soul that's going to live forever somewhere, either with Jesus in heaven or apart from Jesus, apart from God, apart from all that's good, and that's hell. That is hell. This dear man, a few weeks later, he asked Jesus into his life. He believed in Jesus and wanted to receive the gift of eternal life that Jesus has. Death is no longer the victor. O death, where's your sting? O grave, where is your victory? So that's the first thing. Death is no longer the victor. If Jesus rose from the dead, there really is a God and there really is life after death. Second thing is this. Jesus is proven true. All the stuff about Jesus' life, I mean, if he just died and you could still go and visit his tomb and he's dead in there somewhere, he's like everybody else who's ever lived, like any other prophet or teacher or whatever. But the fact that Jesus rose from the dead is God saying, Jesus is the one, folks. Jesus is the one to believe and to follow and to give your life to. He'll give you life. Jesus is proven true. There are over 100 prophecies in the Bible about this Messiah who's coming, this one who's coming to save us. They're all fulfilled in the person of Jesus. It's quite remarkable. That's another message for another day. First, death no longer is the victor. Two, Jesus and all about him is proven to be true. He really is the Son of God. He really has come here to save us and to give us new life. Number three, there's always hope in any circumstance. If there's the power of God to resurrect somebody out of the grave, there's always hope in any circumstance. I don't know what circumstance you might be facing. You might be in a deep struggle, a tough struggle right now, something that's really not going well for you. There's hope in every circumstance because Jesus Christ is alive and he is well and he is able to help you in the midst of your trouble. That's the third thing, and here's the fourth and final thing. Death is no longer the victor. Jesus is proven absolutely true. There's always hope in any circumstance. And fourth and finally, new life is possible in relationship with the living Lord Jesus Christ. He's not dead. He's still alive. He rose. He's still alive. He's in heaven, and he can relate to us. He can come into our life and forgive us all our sins. That's why he died on the cross, right? He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, and he's still alive now to relate to us, to know us in a personal way, and for us to know him in a personal way. And that's what these dear people were talking about this morning, that somehow or other, they were living their life without this personal knowledge of Jesus, and then something happened in their faith. And they came to know Jesus in a personal way. And he's changed and is changing their lives, giving them new life and a joy in walking with Jesus. And this is what baptism symbolizes, right? It's a death to the old way of life that was killing us anyway, and a resurrection to a new way of life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that this can be true? And that it can be true for you. Do you believe this? That like Jesus is not just a myth, but he was really here. God came here in the flesh to die on the cross, to forgive us our sins, and to rise again with great power, to give us the power for a new kind of life. I think we have two dangers as we think about this. The first danger is that we count our own sins against us and we think, oh, God can't forgive everything. And I would ask you today, what regrets, what mistakes, what shame can't you let go? Because Jesus wants to take them all away and set you free. A light heart, a joyful heart, a forgiven heart to walk with him. Sometimes we count our own sins against us too hard, and Jesus wants to lift them up and take them all away. And the second danger, I think, that we have is that we count the sins of others against them too much. That because of something's happened in our life, somebody's maybe hurt us in some way or some maybe done something really awful against us, that we hold on to that and it binds us up and it hurts us. And Jesus wants to take that hurt that's in us, and he wants to heal it up, and he wants to actually take it away and heal it up, forgiving our own sins, forgiving the sins that others have done against us, and he wants to set us free. That's the good news of Jesus Christ, and that's the message of the resurrection. Death doesn't have the final say. Jesus really is true. I mean, he is. There's always hope in any circumstance. And new life is possible with the living and resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray to you just now. We thank you for what we've seen and heard today and for the beauty of the life of Jesus in these beautiful people. How we thank you for them, each one, Lord God. And so we come to you with our open hearts right now and we say, we need your life in us. Also, we need the power of the resurrection in our lives to live our lives, to enjoy the abundant life that you have for us, and to know you in a personal way, Lord Jesus, so that we have you with us right here for all of our life. And then as a huge bonus, when we die, we get to go to heaven to be with you forever. Lord, open our hearts just now, we pray. Help us to turn away from that way of life that was harming us, harming others, and killing us, and turn over to the life of Jesus Christ by faith and by your grace. Thank you for your love, Lord, that you love everyone here in a deep and wonderful way. Help us not to miss this. Open our eyes, open our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a song, then we're on our way. Thanks for coming this morning, everybody. It's really precious that you're here. Thank you for coming. I mean it. God bless you.
Would you stand, please?